kingdom of God is within us. The kingdom of God is within us. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. Bless it to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This morning, the title of this message is Principles of Success in the Kingdom of God. Amen. Principles of Success in the Kingdom of God. How many want to be successful in God's kingdom? I want to let you know that there's a difference between being successful in life, in the secular life, and being successful in God's kingdom. Amen. It's not the same. There are some people that can be successful in this life, in the secular world. For instance, Hollywood actors, famous people, they may be successful in the secular sense, but it's a whole different thing to be successful in the kingdom of God.
Come on now.
To be successful with God. And I want to share with you a few principles this morning that will grant us success in God's kingdom. Amen. But before I do, I want us to look also to Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through verses 30. And I want to read this portion of scripture. It says this in this verse. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his severe ability. And straightway he took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same. I'm reading a little bit out of the King James Version here this morning. It says, "Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made 5 more talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained 2 other talents. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them." In other words, he came to settle accounts. "And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, 'Lord, you gave me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 more. His Lord said unto him, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things.'" See, that's success there here in God's kingdom. "Enter thou into thy joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them.' His Lord said unto him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into thy joy of the Lord, of thy Lord.' Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed or worked. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there though, here is what thou hast given me, here is what belongs to you.' His Lord answered and said unto him, 'Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury," in other words, with interest. "Take therefore thy talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given more, and he shall have abundance. But for him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye that unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So here we clearly see a story of what is success in the kingdom of God. We could say that the one that the Lord or the Master, which is Christ, that Jesus gave, or the Master gave 5 talents and multiplied that talent, those 5 talents, to 5 more talents, and the one that got 2 talents and multiplied it to 4 talents, we could say those people experienced success. Why? Because they gained more. That's not the only reason why, but because also Jesus told them to enter into thy rest, to enter into my joy. So what made them successful is not that they gained more, but also that they had joy and they had peace that came from God. See, success in the kingdom of God is not just about having more. It's not just about material things, it's but about having Jesus in your life. Amen. It's about having the peace of Jesus and the joy of Jesus in our life. Amen. So this morning, I want to ask you a question. Where is the kingdom of God? Luke 17, 21 says, it's within you. Amen. Tell your neighbor, it's within me.
Within me.
In other words, the kingdom of God is where God's will is done. Let me say that one more time.
Amen.
The kingdom of God is where God's will is done.
So good.
Come on now.
And God's will is first done in you before it is manifested outside of you. Let me say that a little bit slower. God's will is first done in you before it is manifested outside of you. It is almost like with me and my wife, the calling that God had in my life. I told you my testimony. I came. I wasn't always a pastor. I wasn't always a man of God, a Christian. I used to be a gang member, a drug addict, a criminal. God saved me. He redeemed me. But even though he saved me, I said the sinner's prayer and I gave my life to Jesus. My outward circumstances, my mentality, my heart was still connected to the world because that's all I knew. Wow. But I knew that something started to happen inside of me when Jesus came into my life.
Amen.
I want to let you know that when Jesus comes into your life, he does an inward work.
Amen.
Yeah. He starts an inside job.
Right. Yeah.
It's Jesus on the inside working on the outside. This is why it's important that we take care of the inside. See, where the will of God starts, listen, what I'm doing today was always the will of God for my life. But when I was busy in the world, sinning and living a criminal lifestyle and gangbanging and drug dealing and all that madness that I was involved in, I was doing the will of the world. I was doing the will of Satan, of the devil. That's what the enemy wanted me to do. Amen. I was doing my own will.
Wow.
But when Jesus came into my life, he began to change my will.
Right.
He began to change what my desires. We stand, sometimes we quote the scripture, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your hearts. But you know what it really means is that God would change your desires.
Amen.
Because sometimes at first when we come to God, our desires are unholy.
Right.
They're unsanctified. Well. They are impure. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Because before I came to Christ, my desire was to be the Scarface of Oak Cliff. Come on, somebody. I wanted to be the number one dope dealer in my neighborhood. That was my desire. But when I gave my life to Jesus, all of a sudden, Jesus began to change that desire. He began to change the desire for possessions and for material things and for sin and for the world. He began to change that desire inside of my life. And what did he start to do? He started to put his desire in my life. He started to put a desire to do his will in my life. All of a sudden, I started to want to help people instead of hurt people.
Hello.
I started to want to be used by God to build the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
See, that started first inside of me. Why? Because he put it inside of me.
Yeah,
it wasn't my own. It wasn't my idea. Come on, somebody. My idea was to be a dope dealer. My idea was to live a sinful lifestyle. But it was God who put that idea inside of me.
Yeah.
Philippians says it like this. Philippians chapter 2 verse 13 says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose.
Yeah.
That's a powerful word right there.
Amen.
It says, for it is God who works in you.
Yeah.
Tell your neighbor, in you.
Yeah.
It is God who works in you to will. What is he doing? To will. He's working in you to have a will. For what? To have a will to do his good purpose.
Amen.
That's what God does in our lives. This is why the kingdom of God is within you. There's some of you that God, there's some of you here today that God has been working His will inside of you. And you know how you can tell? Because all of a sudden there's a desire to preach in the prisons. There's a desire to preach on the streets. There's a desire to help, lend a helping hand. There's a desire to serve. There's a desire to help the down and outer. There's a desire to help the person that used to be like you, the one that was depressed, the one that was suicidal, the one that was addicted just like you were. Listen, now there's a desire to do something about it. And you come and you hear a message like this week in, week out, and it begins to stir you up. Why? Because of me? No, because God is working in you. He's stirring up a desire to do something for His honor and for His glory. See, the kingdom of God is within us. But the question, I got another question for you here today. Is it your will to do the will of God? Is it your will to do the will of God? There's too many people sitting in church still struggling with the will of God. I remember at times struggling with the will of God. I remember being in the men's home struggling with the will of God. I remember before I went into the home knowing that it was the will of God for me to go into that men's home, I struggled with the will of God. I said, man, I don't know about doing a year. I don't know about surrendering 1 year of my life to God by being in that men's home. I don't know about, I struggled with the will of God. But there was a deep thing inside of me, a voice inside of me that was saying, you need to be in that men's home. You need to be there at Victory Outreach. You need to go to Bible college. You need to serve God for life. But there was a struggle inside. A struggle that we all fight. So the question is it your will to do the will of God? Sometimes God has to break that will. He has to break us.
Amen.
But I thank God that He broke me and I surrendered to His will. Because if it had not been for God breaking me to get me to surrender to His will, if it had not been for me to say, okay, God, I give up. I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. We wouldn't be here today. Come on, somebody. We wouldn't be here today. But because we surrender our will, God begins to do great things in our lives. There are certain principles from the words of the Master Jesus that assure success in the kingdom of God. Let me tell you something. When you do the will of God, you will be successful in the kingdom of God. When you do the will of God, you will be successful. Listen, to some people, the will of God, listen, like I told you on Friday, sometimes we think that serving God is not going to be all peaches and cream. But I spoke on Friday. I came out of the Apostle Paul's life, and we read about how when the Apostle Paul was in prison for preaching the gospel, and I told the church, not all the time when you serve God and you do the will of God, is it going to be peaches and cream for your flesh. But then even though things are going bad on the outside, it doesn't mean that you're not in the will of God. Come on, somebody. Because sometimes you're going to get persecuted. We have an enemy. The enemy's going to attack you. The devil's going to hit you because he's mad that you're serving God, that you're in the will of God. And so don't count it strange, my brothers and sisters, when the enemy attacks you. Don't count it strange when it seems like all the whole world is coming against you. Don't count it strange. It might just be because you're in the will of God. It might just be because the devil's mad at you. The world don't like you. Friends are turning on you. People are coming against you. It might just be because you're in the will of God. And just embrace it, because that's what you call picking up your cross and carrying it. It ain't always going to be peaches and cream. It ain't always going to be bless me, I'm blessed, I'm riding on high. There's going to be times when you're going to struggle financially in the will of God. I'll say it again. There's going to be times you're going to struggle. But it doesn't mean that God's mad at you. It doesn't mean...
Come on now.
It just means that you're in the will of God sometimes.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I want to be successful in the will of God.
Amen.
In the kingdom of God. So this morning, I want to give you five areas or five principles that assure success in the kingdom of God. Number one. Number one, this is off the top. If you're going to be successful in the kingdom of God, number one off the top, entrance into the kingdom requires being born again.
Amen.
Entrance into the kingdom requires being born again. Listen, you can't be successful in the kingdom of God if you ain't even in the kingdom of God.
Hey.
Oh, come on now. You got to get in first to be successful. Huh? The other principles are going to teach us once we're in how to be successful in the kingdom of God. But number one, we must enter the kingdom of God by being born again. The book of John chapter 3 verse 3 through 7 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Wow.
Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again.
Come on, man, brother.
One must first enter the kingdom to be successful in it. Jesus emphasized that one cannot even see the kingdom except he be born from above.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me tell you something. When you're born again, it is a God thing.
Amen.
It ain't because the preacher can shuffle and jive and preach his heart out. No, my friend, it is a God thing. It is the Spirit that brings people to Christ.
Right.
He said, if I be lifted up, I shall draw all men unto myself, Jesus said. Jesus, he emphasized that one cannot see the kingdom of God unless he's born from above. The word born includes the whole process. The word born. The word born here includes the whole process. What do I mean the whole process? The whole process of beginning, incubation, and act of birth. In other words, beginning means the conception. The conception we know about having babies and being born. There is a process. The first step is the conception, and then it's what we call the incubation, or in other words, ladies know this. It's the being pregnant parts. When the baby's in the belly, come on, somebody, causing all kinds of hunger pains and cravings and kicking here and kicking there. That baby's being incubated. Listen. The baby won't be born healthy unless it's been 9 months there in the mother's belly.
Right.
It's an incubation status. And then there is the act of birth. See, the one to be born again, I want you to know, is begotten by the Spirit.
Yes.
When you were saved, it was the Spirit that conceived you. It was the Spirit that drawed you.
Yes.
Some of you, the Spirit started drawing you, and you weren't even in church yet. You hadn't even stepped into a church house, but the Spirit was already drawing you. The Spirit, I don't know what it was that you were going through, but you didn't even step into a church yet. But all of a sudden, the Spirit started to rebuke you. The Spirit started to tug at your heart. The Spirit started to deal with you. I remember that's how God worked in my life. I hadn't even stepped into the church, but yet all of a sudden the Spirit was dealing with me.
Right.
And I didn't even know what the Holy Spirit was. Come on, somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought I smoked a good one. Man, what is this stuff, man? It's some new stuff for some. But it was the Spirit of God. I look back and I say, man, I make no mistake about it. It was the Holy Spirit. It was God's Spirit tugging at my heart. The one being born again is begotten by the Spirit. He is born through the Word. He is born through the Word. See, the Word is the seed. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23 says, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed.
Wow.
Oh, that's heavy right there. I could just stop right there. Let me tell you something. The word, that seed that was planted in you, it doesn't perish. God says, my word does not come back to me void.
Yeah.
Even if you backslide, that word is still working inside of you. Because you may die, but the word will not die. This is why some will backslide, but yet on their deathbed, they're crying out to Jesus. You know why? Because that imperishable word. Huh? For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. Amen. The living and enduring word of God. This word is living. This is why it will chase you down. It'll wake you up in the middle of the night. It will mess up your dinner. It'll mess up your breath. It'll mess up your day. Come on, somebody. You're trying to sin, but the word is right there. You're trying to walk. Because it's alive. It's sharper than the double-edged sword. It's enduring. It lasts the test of time. So it's the Spirit begots us. We're born through the Word. And then there's a period of incubation. The period of incubation lasts from the time one first receives the Word until he enters into the kingdom.
Wow.
In other words, listen. It's the Spirit that drew you, but listen, the Word was there somewhere along the way. Somewhere along the way, somebody planted a seed.
Amen.
Somewhere along the way, you heard a message on TBN, on Daystar, on the TV. You met an alcoholic on the street preach to you.
Wow.
Oh, come on now. Huh? Come on, somebody. If God used a donkey. Come on, somebody. Huh? Art Blocko, famous evangelist from Victory Outreach. He was a hitman for the Mexican Mafia on death row. Today, God delivered him from death row. He's a worldwide evangelist. Once many thousands of people to the Lord. You know who witnessed to him? You know who shared the word of God with him? A heroin addict. Putting heroin in his veins. He was popping heroin in his veins, and he was preaching to Art Blocko at the same time. And God used that word from that heroin addict. Now, don't get no ideas. Come on, somebody. Somebody's like, oh, I'll go back to the world and I'll preach. I'll be the drunk preacher or the heroin preacher. Or the, come on. Come on, somebody. I know my people. Amen. I got to correct that. Amen. Come on, somebody. And listen, from the period of incubation, the period of incubation lasts from the time one first receives the word. Listen, I didn't get saved when I first heard the word. And many of you probably didn't either.
Come on now.
It was the seed. It was the seed that was planted. But yet that seed was planted. And when that seed is planted, it gave something for the Holy Spirit to work with. Come on, somebody. This is why you should never stop preaching. This is why you should never stop teaching. This is why you should never stop evangelizing. This is why the Christians should open up their mouth and talk about God at their job. Talk about God at the breakthrough. Talk about God in the neighborhood. And talk about God with the family. Talk about God at the grocery store. Why? Because listen, even though they act like they're not listening, don't forget that the Word of God is living and imperishable, and it will not come back void. You keep on sowing seed. You keep on scattering seed. One day it's going to grow. One day that seed, the Spirit is going to bring life to that seed. From the time one first receives a word until he enters into the kingdom. When he enters into the kingdom is when he gets saved. In other words, between the time the seed is planted and when you accept Jesus into your heart is which marks your entrance into the kingdom of God. Listen, if you're saved now, you gave your life to Jesus, you're in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Where's the kingdom of God? Inside of you.
Yeah.
Why? Because it was planted by the word of God inside of you.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. Spiritual embryology includes faith, repentance, and confession. Spiritual embryology includes faith, repentance, and confession. Now, I know I lost you, some of you right there. Like, bruh? Right? Embryology means, it's a branch of biology dealing with embryos and their developments. We know what an embryo is.
It is the features and phenomena exhibited in the formation and development of an embryo. The embryo, the seed that was conceived inside. See, this helps us understand that embryology in the spirit includes faith. In other words, if we're going to give birth, if it's going to give birth, it's going to give birth because our faith begins to grow. If it's going to give birth, it's because repentance starts to take place. If it's going to give birth, it's because confession starts to take place.
Amen.
See, this causes a healthy seed to be born into the kingdom of God. All of a sudden, when we mix faith with the word, when we mix repentance, in other words, we say, you know what? I don't want to live like that no more. I've been living like a sinner. I've been living like a gang member. I've been living like a dope dealer. I've been living like a greedy person. I've been living like a party girl, like a party animal. Hello, somebody, all my life. But I don't want to party no more. All of a sudden, ever since I heard the word of God, ever since I've been going to church, ever since God has been dealing with me, I used to always want to go to the club. I used to always want to dance on the dance floor. I used to always want to drink. And I used to always want to do dope. But all of a sudden, I find myself with a desire not to do that no more. I don't want to go that way no more. I want to go this way now. I want to go towards the kingdom of God. I want to go towards the people of God. That is repentance. I don't want to be involved in pornography no more. I don't want to be involved in sexual morality no more. I don't want to be involved in witchcraft no more. Repentance and that embryo begins to grow and develop. You begin to confess these things. See, so in order for the seed of the word of God that brings salvation to be developed within a person, it takes faith, repentance, and confession. That's what it takes. Then baptism is symbolic to the act of birth. Baptism is symbolic to the act of birth. Look at this. John chapter 3 verse 5. Listen. It says, "Very truly I say to you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the spirits." Also, let's look at Ephesians 5:26. This is what it says. It says, "To make her holy, cleansing her," talking about the church, "by the washing with water through the word." We're talking about being born again. Also, look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20 through 21. "To those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built, in it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water."
Water.
And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also.
My God.
That's the scripture. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God.
Amen.
It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Listen, once we accept Christ into our hearts, we're saved and we should get baptized.
Amen.
We should get baptized. Because baptism coming out of the water is symbolic to a new birth.
Yeah.
The water doesn't wash away your sins. The blood of Jesus washes away your sins.
Amen.
Huh? But Jesus said that we should be baptized. We should be baptized. That we should allow ourselves to be baptized in water as a symbolic gesture that we have been born into the kingdom of God.
Amen, brother, right now.
So the first thing that we need to do, the first principle we're going to be successful in the kingdom of God, is to give our life to Jesus.
Right.
This morning, if you haven't given your life to Jesus, I pray that you won't leave this place without giving your heart to God. If that's the only thing that happens this morning, I'm good with it.
Right.
Because the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner who repents.
Right.
The second principle that gives us success in the kingdom of God is that we must enter with single-mindedness.
Ooh,
Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and everything else shall be added unto you." Seek ye first the kingdom of God. See, single-mindedness This is having or concentrating on only one aim or purpose. That's what single-mindedness is. Concentrating or having only one aim or purpose. This is why Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness." In other words, let that be your primary focus. Let that be the number one thing that you do, is to seek God first every day, every week, every month, every year, every day of your life. This is single-mindedness. Not double-mindedness.
Come on now.
Double-mindedness. Peter, James, he said it's like a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways.
Wow.
Don't let that man think he's going to receive anything from the Lord. A single-mindedness says, you know what? My mind is stayed on Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noontime, Jesus when the sun goes down. Let me ask you another question. How much do you want success in the kingdom of God?
Wow.
How much do you want success in the kingdom of God? Is it your number one priority? Is it your number one heart's desire? If you want success in the kingdom of God, concentrate on attaining this success. Don't look without you. Remember, the kingdom of God is within you. This is why it's important that you put the word in you to come to church on Sunday. I know it takes discipline to sit there and hear me yell at you, "Hello, somebody," but it's a good discipline to have. It's a good discipline to come and hear the word of God, because the word of God is being poured inside of you, and sometimes you think ain't nothing happening. Oh, but listen, the Holy Spirit will bring that word to remembrance.
Amen.
Concentrate on attaining this success in the kingdom. Psychologists testify to the harmfulness of fear and worry. This scripture is talking about Matthew 6:33 is dealing with those that worry. Jesus says, don't worry about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink. For the heathen, worry about those things. Look at the birds in the air. They neither sow nor reap, yet your heavenly Father takes care of them. How much more will he take care of you?
Right.
The scripture says he desires to give you the kingdom. Don't trip when finances are low. Don't trip when it seems like you're not going to make ends meet. Rejoice and look to the heaven, because that's where your help comes from. Don't cause those circumstances and situations to cause you to fret and fear and take steps backwards and go back to your hustle mentality. But trust in the Lord, and trust in His saving grace, and trust that He will never leave you nor forsake you, and just take care of His business and He'll take care of your business. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything else shall be added unto you.
Yeah.
Give the kingdom priority over everything. That's entering with single-mindedness. Give the kingdom of God first place in everything. Before you pray for your food, before you drive off in your car, before you go to work, pray, read your word, give God glory in everything. Give God first.
Right.
And you will find success in the kingdom of God. Thirdly, you have to enter with self-abandoned. Enter with self-abandon. In other words, abandon yourself. At the door of the kingdom, abandon yourself. At the door of the kingdom, leave self behind. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
Matthew 16:25 says, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it."
Amen.
For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Those that don't want to abandon their self, they're going to end up losing their self.
That's right.
But whoever loses their life for me will find it.
Yeah, I got.
Let me tell you, self-abandonment brings joy.
Amen.
When you think of yourself less, you have more joy. Listen, you know what's the number one stealer of joy? The number one that takes your joy is when we're selfish. You know why? Because when we're selfish, we never get what we want and we get mad about it. But self-abandonment brings joy. Because you know what happens when you self-abandon yourself? You cut off all the strings that people use to pull to get you mad and get you upset and get on your nerves. No longer do you have no strength. There's nothing that you can do, devil. There's nothing you can take away. There's nothing you can do, world, to get to me, because I've abandoned myself at the door. And so therefore, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it. The world can't take it away. An athlete in a game, he forgets himself. And you know, I've heard of so many athletes. Matter of fact, I believe it was Pacquiao that played with some of his fingers broken. Boxed. Because when you're in the boxing, you're not thinking about your pain. You're just thinking about winning. You're just thinking about, you know, you're just thinking about giving it your best. In the game, the athlete finds the life that brings him the greatest joy. You know when I, you know what I tripped out? You know, we have football season now, and I remember playing football, street football, and going out, and when it would get cold, we would be out there throwing the ball and playing, you know, in the neighborhood football. And you know when you catch the ball and it's real cold and you catch the ball with your hands? How many know it hurts?
Yeah.
I've never been like that, right?
Yeah.
But when you're in the midst of the game, come on somebody. This is for the guys. We used to play street football. Any guys used to play street football, right, with the neighborhood homies? And you'd be out there with 20, 30 guys, man, all the homies from the neighborhood, and then we'd be playing against each other, and you could go out for a long one, and all of a sudden they throw the ball like 100 miles per hour, but you still catch it. And you make a touchdown and you celebrate. Huh? And you don't realize that it hurt your hand. Because when you're winning, there is no pain. Huh? Gee. In the game, an athlete finds the life that brings him the greatest joy. Jesus said, He says, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. The key words is for my sake. For Jesus' sake. This is the key to this verse. If you lose your life, not for the sake of money, not for the sake of your business, not for the sake of anything else, but for his, not even for the sake of our family, but for the sake of Jesus. This is the key right here. See, like the athlete, you got to put all you have into the battle for Christ.
Amen.
You got to put all you have into the battle for Christ. I don't know about you, but I want to pour out my life for Christ. I want to pour out my life preaching the gospel. I want to pour out my life giving. I want to pour out my life equipping people. I want to pour out my life sharing my testimony. I want to pour out my life doing street rallies. I want to pour out my life traveling the world and telling the world about Jesus. I want to pour myself out.
Amen.
Listen, you will lose the life you might have lived, but you will live your life more abundantly. I don't know about you, but I needed to lose the life that I once lived. There's somebody here today that you're afraid of letting go. You're afraid of letting go. I don't know who you are, but the Holy Spirit wants me to tell you that you might lose the life you might have lived, but you will live life more abundantly.
Amen.
By dying in His service, entrance is gained into eternal life. Get that one more time. By dying in His service, entrance is gained into eternal life. Number four, principle number four. Humble service is necessary in the kingdom. We're talking about being successful in the kingdom. And this is the fourth one. One more after this. But this one is important. They're all important, but this is important. Humble service is necessary in the kingdom. You got to be humble. Amen. Matthew 23 verse 11 and 12 says, "The greatest among you will be your servants. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be exalted." There is no room for selfish ambition in the kingdom of God. This is illustrated by Paul's words in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. He says, "I beseech you, brethren, to offer yourselves, offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable act of worship of service." Paul is saying, die to yourself. Paul is saying, humble yourself. Present your body a living sacrifice. Jesus in Matthew 23, verse 8 through 10, In this verse, he also illustrates this fact. He says, "Be not ye called rabbi, father, or master, In other words, Jesus is saying, don't go after positions.
Come on now, titles. Come on.
Don't
now.
Go after position or title, my friend. Those things, if you humble yourself, those will come naturally.
Amen.
But don't go after it. Because when you go after it, it's an unhealthy ambition. Pride starts to rise up. Again, we got to remember where the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is inside of you. So quit looking for something on the outside. In 1 Corinthians 15:10, listen to what the Apostle Paul says. He says, by the grace of God, I am what I am.
Amen.
And you know who Paul was? He was probably one of the greatest apostles that ever lived. But yet he credited it not himself, he credited it the grace of God. I don't care how much God raises you up. I don't care how much God uses you. I don't care how much, and I'm not just talking about in church. I'm talking about, listen, some of you, you're not called to be a pastor. You're not called to be a missionary. You're called to be a businessman. You're called to be a doctor. You're called to be a lawyer. You're called to be that Christian lawyer that's not gonna cheat. You're called to be that doctor that's not just gonna operate on people, but you're gonna lay hands on people. You're gonna lay hands and watch healing take place. But I don't care how many doctrines and how many plaques and how many degrees you get. You always credit the grace of God. Don't ever think it's your ability. Don't ever think it's your know-how. Don't ever think it's your study habits. Don't ever think it's your talent. Don't ever think it's your preaching ability. Remember, it's the grace of God.
Yeah.
This will keep you humble. Because boasting is excluded in the kingdom of God. Boasting has no place in the kingdom of God. Romans 3:27 says, where then is boasting? It is excluded. Because of what? Because of what law? The law that requires works? Question. No, because the law that requires faith. In other words, it's nothing that you did. It's everything that he did. And the last thing, as the piano player comes up, the fifth principle. The fifth principle of success in the kingdom of God is that faithfulness is necessary to remain in the kingdom. If you want to remain in the kingdom and find success in the kingdom, faithfulness is necessary. Faithfulness is necessary. In prison, we used to have a saying, commissary is necessary. We were so wrong. Faithfulness is necessary to remain in the kingdom of God. Matthew 25:21, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Let me tell you something. The faithful will achieve success at last. The faithful will achieve success at last. This is why, don't give up.
Amen.
Don't throw in the towel. Be faithful. Be faithful to God. Be faithful in prayer. Be faithful to the word. Be faithful to devotion.
Yes.
Be faithful in worship. Be faithful in your church attendance. Be faithful in your giving. The faithful will achieve success at last. You know why I'm here? Because others said no.
Hey.
In reality, the only reason me and my wife are here is because others said no.
Right.
The only reason why we're here is because we were just that faithful face. And I was just in Pastor Jesse's face too much. And he said, man, I'm tired of you being in my face. Get out of here and go take a city. I was all up in Pastor's face. Come on, somebody. I think he just got tired of me. Said, the only way I'm going to get this guy, this crazy nut Christian out of my face, I need to launch him out, because he's been faithful here in my church. He's been faithful to me. He's been faithful to God here. I know he'll be faithful when God gives him a church. I know he'll be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful in God's house. The final promotion will be awarded to the faithful. Where do we get that? The scripture. The final promotion will be given to the faithful. I want you to stand to your feet here this morning. I don't know about you, but I want to be successful in God's kingdom. I want to be successful in serving God. And if that's you here this morning, you want to be successful in God's kingdom also, I want you to come to these altars.
And I want you to spend some time in the presence of Jesus. We're not going to spend a lot of time, but maybe this morning God spoke to you. Maybe you need to give your heart to Jesus here today. Maybe God has been tugging at your heart. The Spirit's been working in your heart. Maybe you've walked away from God and you kind of backslid and you kind of went back to the world, but you feel like God's calling you back. Today's a good opportunity to give your life to Jesus. And if that's you, I want to pray for you. If that's you, you say, I want to give my life back to Jesus. I want you to raise your hand. I want you to raise your hand all over this place. God bless you. God sees your hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Leaders, if you see somebody with their hands raised, I want you to come pray for them. Or if you're a Christian and you're saved and you see somebody with their hands raised, why don't you pray with them? Pray with them. Join them in prayer. And I want us to say this prayer. Let's all say this prayer together. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. I want to be born again. I want to be born into your kingdom. Jesus, I know you're the Son of God. I know you died on the cross for my sins. And I know you resurrected from the dead. Forgive me of my sins. I give you my life. And I want to serve you for the rest of my life. In the name of Jesus, thank you for forgiving me and welcoming me into your family. In Jesus' name. The altar's open. If you want to come spend some time with Jesus, you come. I'm going to ask the people that are here at the altar to take one step closer. Hallelujah. successful in the things of God. You know, we believe that God has a plan and a purpose for every single one of you guys' life.
Yes, he does.
You know, he has a plan. And God wants to take you in that process. God wants to take you to accomplish that plan. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Come on, give Jesus some praise here this morning. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Amen. We're going to go ahead and pray out, but I want to remind everyone that tonight we have our gang service at 5 p.m. We have our gang service at 5 p.m. So come back out. Come back out, amen. Receive what God has for you right there, our gang service.
Bring it back.
Amen. And here this morning, we actually have some birthdays in the house. We have some birthdays in the house. Amen. Sister Maya is her birthday. Also, Adiana is her birthday as well. Amen. I want to call them up. Amen. We're going to say happy birthday to them. Amen. We're going to sing happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Maya and Ariana. Happy birthday to you. Yeah. Amen. Amen. We're also going to have some cake after service. We want a piece of cake. It's going to be right there in the green room. Amen. Amen. We're going to go ahead and close out service. Father God, we come before you, God, and we thank you, God. God, for what you're doing, God, here, God, this morning. God, for what you did, God. For your presence, God, being here, God. God, I pray, Lord God, that you will be with us, Lord God. God, as we dismiss from this place, God, but never from your presence, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. You are dismissed.
Look, man.